Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies and the mindsets of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I'm super excited for today's guest, and I think this interview is just so meant to be because we ran into each other and we were both wearing the Vibram Fukushima slippers, or shoes, I guess they are. And so I have not seen anybody else wearing those exact same shoes. So I was like, oh, dude, I just got to interview you for the show this time. So no, and he's got an awesome story. So I'm excited to welcome Rome Za to Making Bank. And his whole thing is he helps people get rid of unwanted stress as well as tap into their true potential. And this is by any means necessary. And after lots of lessons learned growing up in the streets of good old Brooklyn, New York, he rediscovered martial arts and personal development, which has led him down an exciting yet turbulent journey on figuring out truly who he is, what the gift is that he's blessed with to share with the world. Now, 8 years later, and over $150,000 and tens of thousands of hours invested in coaching, courses, events, masterminds, books, and taking massive action to uplevel his life, he realized that the industry is screwed. Most of the gurus can talk the talk, but many of them cannot walk the talk. And he lives by a simple quote: to know and not to do is to not to know, and that is what keeps him taking massive action in life and helping clients create and do the same. He's been blessed with many challenges in life so far, and to solve them, not leaving any stones unturned, and promise to keep moving forward and expanding until the day he dies. And the mission is to help high performers get rid of unwanted stress and tap in their true potential. The programs and systems offered are tested and proven to work, not just in theory, but in practice by hundreds of clients who have worked with him through different events, retreats, and coaching masterminds. Rome, I want to welcome you to Making Bank today.
Thanks, bro.
And thanks for the tricky bio, because it says me and I everywhere. So I had to turn around and tweak it a little bit on the fly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hope
yeah,
it
we were wearing
you.
The same shoes. Dude, I literally only have Vibrams. I don't have any other shoes. I only own three pairs of shoes. So that's one of the three.
That's awesome. I used to run in Five Fingers like right after they first came out years ago. And then I remember seeing these like a little over a year when they first came out. And I'm like, dude, they're either going to be awesome or suck. And like, I pretty much wear them like 90% of the time unless it's raining. So,
yeah. At first, I hated them. I thought they were so weak. And then I was like, oh, that's what they're made for. They're made to just be like casual and not like hardcore, stinky feet type shit.
Right. Yep. Right. For sure. Well, cool. So, and so right now, you and your family live in Costa Rica, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been almost 3 years now.
Wow. That's so cool. What, I guess, what was that transformation that just made you pick up and leave New York and head down to Costa Rica?
So I had a mixed martial arts gym in New York. We had, it was really flowing. It was pretty awesome. We had a lot of students. We had a lot of kids. We probably had the only curriculum in the world for kids that were 2 to 4 years old, and we were teaching them Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Yeah, when you're hungry, you will figure out ways to eat. And that was an untapped market where I learned to become like the child whisperer. Anyway, one day this woman came into the academy and she was like, hey, we want to do a ceremony at the academy, because I had a 3,000 square foot space. And I was like, what does that even mean?
Right.
And she was like, oh, like, we're going to come here in the evening and we're going to have like these buckets and we're going to drink this tea. And she was like, and then, yeah, people are going to like purge into these buckets. And I was like, nah, I don't want any hippies throwing up in my academy. And then what happened was, whatever, she left, we exchanged numbers. And then one day I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast and he started talking about ayahuasca. And I was like, oh, that's what she was talking about. This sounds awesome. So I called her. I did absolutely like no other research besides Joe. And I had it down there and I drank medicine for the first time, and it definitely shifted a lot of things. And literally like a month or two later, we had Hurricane Sandy, and New York got destroyed. Like so many areas in New York got destroyed. And luckily my academy didn't get touched. So we used it as a hub to collect clothing and food. And I ran the clothes and food with Lola, my wife, for the next like few weeks, like literally before the National Guard got there, before the Red Cross got there, like we were in the hood, giving out like clothes. Like there was like kids running around like naked, and it was freezing. It was like, literally freezing. And and we got hooked on giving. And I thought we were giving a lot at the academy because we were sponsoring a lot of kids, a lot of like poor Russian kids and poor Mexican kids. But once we did this whole like thing, like this thing during Hurricane Sandy, I was like, man, I want to do this more. And what I realized is in the United States, it's really hard to do that because there's so much red tape.
Right.
And we just made a decision like, all right, let's go check out somewhere else to live. And we went down here. The real estate agent that we were talking to about property trained jiu-jitsu also. Oh. So it was like, it's just like synchronicities, you know, right. Like little things, you know. And a year. And then I had to learn how to make money on the internet for that next year. So I would come home from the academy at 10 p.m. And I would grind till about 4 o'clock in the morning when everybody would go to sleep, trying to figure out how to make a landing page, how to make a new button, because I would use like Optimized Press.
Yeah. It wasn't as easy as it is now.
For sure.
ClickFunnels.
Which I'm really grateful for, you know?
Yeah.
Which I'm really grateful for. And then now we're down here and we have a nonprofit down here and we do retreats, and it's been a blessing for sure.
That's awesome.
We can give back a lot.
So I guess let's take a couple steps back. What got you started in martial arts and kind of taking that journey and then being able to turn around and turn it into a business and start helping people?
So I was like 11 years old when I started martial arts. My dad is a master of sports in Greco-Roman wrestling. We're from Chechnya, which is like a warring republic in the Soviet Union. So my whole life I've been like fighting. Like I was always taught to strike first.
Okay.
And growing up in Brooklyn, I mean, when I was 11, I started selling weed, and then I progressed onto like heavier drugs. And by the time I started training Muay Thai, Thai boxing when I was 11, because I thought wrestling looked really gay with like the singlets and stuff. And So I started awesome. Like when all the other kids were like playing like football and basketball, I was like doing Muay Thai. I was doing Thai boxing. Cool. And then I stopped because I just wanted to do like hood rat shit with my friends. And then eventually when I was 17, I decided that I'm going to go back to college and become a doctor. And it was like this huge shift I had. I tried mushrooms for the first time, woke up the next day and decided I'm going back to school. And at that time, a couple of my friends actually went to jail for like forever. Like one of them had a 15-year bid. One of them had 25 to life for a double homicide. And a bunch of them died. Like a bunch of my friends died from overdoses and like getting stabbed or shot or whatever, car accident. Like stupid, like street shit, you know?
Yeah.
And then I just made a decision, like I wanna make my parents happy. So I went to school, I did pre-med, I had like a 3.7, and then I was like, man, I don't wanna be a doctor once I found out what it's all about.
Right.
And then I pivoted to go to nursing school. I did nursing school for 3 years, and I was so depressed. I wanted to kill myself. Like I couldn't sleep at night. It was just like I was training jiu-jitsu and I was doing nursing, and I hated nursing because it was like a rotating door of people. Like, I would see the same exact people in the same exact place, and they would just get these fucking stupid medications that didn't make them feel better, and they would just cover up these symptoms. And that's where I was just like, all right, I'm done with this. I'm not wiping people's asses. I don't want to be like a pill dispenser. So I just, yeah, at a certain point, there was like, a 3 month stretch where I just didn't sleep. I would sleep for like 2 or 3 hours. I had like terrible insomnia. I started having panic attacks all the time. And I noticed that like my life was like slipping away. I would just sit there and scroll on my phone on MySpace and Facebook, mostly MySpace, right? Because at that time, like, it was MySpace.
That was a big thing.
Yeah, for sure. And I had my BlackBerry Bold and I would scroll on MySpace. So I was like, I don't want to do this shit. So 2 classes before graduating with my bachelor's degree in nursing, I just dropped out. I said, I'm never going back. And I opened up and I borrowed a bunch of money and I went into like crazy debt for that time. And I opened up a martial arts academy.
That's cool.
And we did almost 200 grand our first year. And then, yeah, it was pretty cool for like a 24-year-old kid that didn't know anything about legal businesses. But I guess it's all the same, right? Like supply, demand, like.
Right. That's awesome.
So, yeah, that's kind of how we got here. And cool. Then, and then we decided to do the same exact thing, like burn everything to the ground when we were moving to Costa Rica. And we had like 200 plus K in debt, business debt, and $120,000 in personal debt between me and my wife from like college and credit cards.
Sure.
And so we sold the mats at my academy and we had like $4,000. And then we spent $1,000 of it on tickets to go to Costa Rica. And we moved to Costa Rica with a 3-month-old kid, a 5-year-old kid. Me, her, and we didn't know anybody except the real estate agent and $3,000 in cash.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Yes. It was fun.
And so hence now, you know, you're working with, you know, helping people deload stress and, you know, help transform their lives and everything. What, so obviously some of these things that you're teaching, you're probably utilizing without really knowing what you're doing at the time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Because, I mean, moving to Costa Rica with $3,000, 2 kids, and what is a whole lot of stress and not having a business or not having any kind of revenue stream yet, for sure.
We had a business. We had a supplement company that we just launched, but, like, it wasn't producing because there's so much money invested in it. And it was just like, yeah, you know how it goes.
And so you, that was the company that with the landing pages and everything that you were working on late in the evening was working towards putting that supplement company live.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So tell me a little bit about them. So you're in Costa Rica. How do you go then from with the gym and everything and then the supplement company to doing the high performance, you know, helping get rid of the stress and tapping in the true potential? You know, what kind of took you down that path? And then we'll start with there.
So I started, we have a mastermind group that we started all of our companies with. We have 4 companies now.
Okay.
And we have a mastermind group of 1, 2, 3, 4. Six guys like that are partners in all the companies.
Oh wow, okay.
And I had to learn how to make it work between 6 alpha males that all of the guys are like animals. Every single one of like my team is like an animal and we're all equal partners. And so I had like the job of like a true CEO where I had to learn how to help people. Basically, like we all have, like our team all has very designated duties.
Okay.
Like one is a copywriter, one is a media buyer. So what happens is people get blockages, like emotional blockages. Maybe it's relationship stuff. Maybe it's health stuff. Maybe it's some sort of like internal like frustration or turbulence. So I have to step in and figure out a way to get rid of that. So I went, we actually flew out the whole team to go train with Richard Bandler for NLP.
Oh, yeah.
We became certified, so to ease the communication. So I had to learn how to do that for our team. And then I started going to all these masterminds and I was like, holy shit, like all these dudes are making so much money, but like they all look like shit. They all feel like shit and they're all stressed out all the time and they're forgetting the reason why they started trying to make all this money. Like they forgot like why, like what was it? It wasn't just to make money.
Right.
Cause that's like the easy thing to just focus on that. And I noticed, and I started noticing all these things and I seen a reflection of like where I was a little while ago. And, so then I started to like read and learn and test all these things on myself and my team. And then I started to expand it into like the secondary team. Like now we have like a secondary tribe outside of the primary mastermind.
Okay.
And then it started to expand into the tertiary tribe as well. Like other people that, I guess if you look at it from like hot to cold, right? Traffic. So right. Essentially like it got to the cold at a certain point, where it worked for hot and warm.
So the different strategies and the different things you've utilized to build out your team yourself, you've guys now applied and, you know, brought in some more people that, or like kind of a 6 degree separation of you and them, and it's worked with them. And then now you've been recently more bringing it out to a market of people that don't know anybody within that circle directly.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, we use like everything. Like anything that can level us up by like even 1%, like that's a huge thing in like compounding interest in a year from now.
Oh yeah, for sure. So what have been maybe the two or three strategies that you've found that have worked really well for whether it's your team and then that you've been able to also push out to, you know, the, I guess, general population?
Wow. So, I mean, it all starts with mindset, right? Like really like filling up your mind. Well, let me go back. It starts with like immersion.
Okay.
Like one is like figuring out like what it is that you want and then figuring out, or if not figuring out, if nobody's ever done it, then hallucinating to see like how you can do it. Like if there's no model to follow. And then, cause essentially like stress comes from like, the majority of stress comes from like it's in between idea and implementation. Like a lot of like,
right.
You know what I mean? So I help people bridge the gap between idea and implementation because I've studied so many, not so many, but a bunch of different, modalities. I mean, we started with holistic nutrition and then we went in like deep into detoxing heavy metals and parasites and then plant medicines. I lived in Peru for a month, like with shamans. Let me go back a little bit. Like a lot of mindset stuff, breath work, like very specific types of breath work where we can go into like psychedelic journeys, like just through breath work. Wow. And that opens up a lot of emotional baggage and turbulence that we don't even know that we're carrying.
Sure.
That's... And then once those systems are broken down, basically shit and concrete inside of the mind, heart, and soul, we break, once that those systems are broken down, we can rebuild them. Kind of like the $6 million man, like that yeah. Commercial, like we're going to, like, you know, like that.
I remember watching that when I was a kid. No, that's cool. It's interesting you talked about, you know, with the immersion and breath work. What, because I hear, you know, a lot of people talking about breath work with, like with the Wim Hof method and, the ice man. What are maybe like three keys to, you know, I guess the breath work and creating, I guess, a strong breathing or to help you move kind of that next level from a mindset standpoint?
All right. So I created a course recently called Present Moment Awareness.
Okay.
Like how to tap into present moment awareness. So basically how to tap into flow state in different situations, because every situation is different. Some people are really good into tapping into flow state when they're skateboarding in a half pipe, but sure. They can't do it when they're having a social interaction with the female. So basically it goes down into like a lot of like following those similar patterns that you would during whatever. For me, it's like jiu-jitsu or sex or whatever it is, right? So there's this thing like warrior's breath, right? I don't know if you're familiar, but I start with 4-4-4-4.
Okay.
And I move on to like 8-8-8-8. So what do I mean by that? So you start with inhaling through your nose for a count of four, and then holding for a count of four, exhaling for a count of four, and then holding for a count of four empty.
Okay.
And you just practice that until it becomes almost second nature. And whenever you feel, I mean, you can easily program it also with neuro-linguistic programming as well. Like you can mix a lot of those modalities up.
Okay. But
if somebody who's listening to this wants to start on that journey, because that's what we're trying to do, I would start to practice it as much as possible. What I used to do when I first started, because I'm a sick bastard, what I used to do is I used to set an alarm on my phone for every 10 minutes.
Okay.
I would practice like a minute of breath work. And I did that for like a year.
Wow.
And but now I don't have a phone anymore, so I can't do that. So I just now it's already like habit where I practice it when I'm walking, when I'm talking, when I'm, well, mostly when I'm listening.
Right.
Like that's huge to be able to retain and digest information. Breath work is very important because a lot of people just like their mind bounces around everywhere. But if you can focus on the breath, you can stop your mind from bouncing around.
No, and that's awesome. I think that's a super good way to start is using, you know, that 4-4-4-4 to really get yourself and work on your breathing and stuff. One of the things I was kind of curious about is you mentioned, you know, utilizing it to get in the flow state. And it's pretty cool because I just got done reading Stephen Kotler's new book. And then I actually kind of stepped back and was reading his Rise of Superman book right now, which is all about flow state and everything else. So I'd like to kind of dive in a little bit more since you – there you go. Actually, I think I'm interviewing him here in a couple of weeks too.
Nice.
And, but yeah, no, that was an awesome book. And then the whole thing with Rise of Superman or the Rise of Superman and stuff is getting into that flow state and finding – but being able to create that, I guess, flow state on demand, if that makes sense. And,
yeah.
And so I'm curious to hear about – what you've utilized, what works really well for you, and then maybe some points to for that.
Yeah, routine.
Okay.
Creating a powerful routine that it takes testing, obviously. It's not like, this works for me, so this is going to work for everybody.
Right.
But like, there's certain patterns that people follow, like very high-performing people follow, like I mean, when I used to compete, for example, like my best competitions were when I would come to a tournament, I would stay away from all of the action and I would not watch anything.
Okay.
And I would like sit there and just like listen to like calm, like meditation music for hours until, and I would have like a spotter, somebody who would be at the tournament waiting to hear my name called to get me into the tournament. And there would be specific movement patterns that I would follow like that hour before, and then what I would do 2 hours before, and what I would do 3 hours before, and what I would do the day before. And like, so it was like, for example, like Michael Phelps, he literally follows the same exact pattern over and over. He literally has the same visualization sequence that was developed for him as a child. So visualization is huge, like learning how to harness the power of your creative mind. Visualization, rituals, of course, freeing your mind, because essentially flow state is like turning off your logical mind and letting your body work, like just like letting it happen, you know, like you did all the preparation already, like worrying is not going to help anything.
Sure.
So, yeah, just tapping into that and like really enjoying that moment because it'll never come again. Like realizing and like truly feeling that this will never happen again. Like this might be your last interview of the day, right? But this moment right now, will like you'll never be as young as you are now. You'll never have that same exact facial hair as you have now. Like your eyes will never feel or look the same. Your body will never feel the same. And like tapping into that present moment essentially is that flow state, because nothing else exists. There is no future. There is no past. There is just this moment. Like right now, I'm looking at you and you're the most important person in my life. Even though I have children, I have students, I have kids that I take care of.
Right.
I have a mastermind, but you right now are the most important person in my life, because nobody else truly exists in this reality that we've built right now, this bubble.
Gotcha. No, that makes sense. And you mentioned you had kids. And I know you guys have a really cool program that you've developed for kids down there and everything else. What different things do you utilize, you know, with your kids and helping them, you know, as they're growing, you know, through different visualization stuff to, I guess, helping them kind of move beyond what the noise is out there?
So, I mean, we live in Costa Rica, right? So just like we don't really have a lot of that noise.
Right.
My older son, he's 8. He turned 8 in October.
Okay.
And he reads all the time. Like, he goes to a Waldorf school. I don't know if you're familiar, Rudolf Steiner, but he's a genius. And he has an incredible school. So he's learning his Russian, English, Spanish, French, German. So fifth language right now.
Wow.
And he read like over 100 books last year, and they were like adult books, like,
that's
like
cool.
All the Harry Potter. He read all the Harry Potters when he was 5. But what we do is we just let him do whatever he wants to do, if that makes sense. Like, we don't, like, we're just like the bumpers for that bowling game. Because essentially it's all a game. Like, he's not our son. Like, we didn't choose him. He might have chosen us, right? So we're just there to be the bumpers, to make sure, like, that everything's all good. And I mean, he surfs a few times a week. He plays the piano, he plays the flute, he paints, and he goes and sells the painting. So he's like a salesman. Like, we just let him do whatever he wants to. He does jiu-jitsu. Like, we just, like, I don't ever force like the stuff that we do on him. He just, like, he eats what we eat in the house, because, like, he doesn't really have a choice unless he wants to make his own money, right? But, like, before we sent him to Waldorf, we just, like, we homeschooled him. But basically, like, the unschooling principles, where we just, like, let him learn whatever he wants to learn.
Right.
And, I mean, it's just, like, it's so much easier. There's so much less stress. And there's so much of a better connection, because you're not always just trying to force all this dumb shit down a child's throat. And in reality, like, they pretty much know better than you what they need, because it's like, it's them who needs it. So,
right.
And it's a struggle. It's a struggle with like ego and like logic and actually like being able to step away from it. And like, I get caught in patterns sometimes where I'm like, I get frustrated, but when I tap back into my breathing, everything just opens back up again, where I'm just like, this doesn't really matter. Like,
yeah.
Like, who cares? Like, nobody's ever going to remember this ever.
Sure.
And, and just coming back to that all the time, like coming back to home base emotionally, like for me, right? Cause it's like, you ask, what do you do with the kids? Where it's like, it has nothing to do with the kids. The kids are just teachers for me, right?
Sure.
They just remind me to like always stay at an emotional level of higher vibrations, essentially. And and to test me to see if I can stay there.
Right. I guess that's a good way to look at it, for sure.
It's all training, bro.
Yeah. No, and I think that's one of the key things too you mentioned, was just, you know, was the fact that ego is, a lot of times that's what we let get in the way.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we have a younger one too, and he's just like a brawler. Like, he just wants to scrap all the time.
That's funny. That's cool. And then and so what that went quick. We got a few minutes left. So I guess what, tell me about how, as you know, entrepreneurs, you know, a lot of the people that are watching, they're type A. They have some kind of stresses in their life, things like that. I know we talked a little bit about using the breathing technique to help manage some of that. You know, what are maybe a couple other ideas or things that you teach to help people kind of rid that stress from their lives or from what they're doing?
Yeah, I help people develop like a very specific routine for the morning and the evening, and then sure. during the daytime as a reminder. Because essentially, like, the key is to just always remember what it is that you want and why it is that you want it, and then like the stress kind of goes away. And that it's not that important either way if you get it or not, because essentially you're going to die. You're not going to be able to keep it. So I just help entrepreneurs and high performers get rid of that overwhelming feeling where are you familiar with the story of like there's like a martial arts master and he's sitting at a mountaintop and one of his students comes to him and he's like, I really love martial arts. I love it so much. And he's like, because I love it so much, I've decided to take on a second martial art and to learn it. And I think it's going to help my training. And the martial arts master tells him, he's like, have you ever seen a hunter hunting a rabbit? He goes, the hunter who chases two rabbits catches none.
Right.
So basically, like, I just help people, like, tap into that internal warrior, and which is like that single-minded focus, which is like that flow state, which is like getting rid of that overwhelm that we feel like looking at a project from the macro and just breaking it down into the micro and getting it done. And like getting rid of a lot of those like emotional issues from the past that we're holding on to and belief systems that aren't serving us anymore.
Right.
And I use a lot of like neuro-linguistic programming and like ancestral like meditations and techniques and different types of breathing patterns. I mean, we trained with Wim Hof last year. We flew down to Spain and we climbed the mountain with him.
Nice.
And I mean, we just create breakthroughs by any means like possible. Whether like some people, like for example, like if you come to me and like we have a conversation, like it might be that you have like some sort of like internal, like a nutritional struggle, or like you might have parasites inside of your body, or you have heavy metal toxicity, or maybe you're holding on to these belief systems, but essentially it's all one big holistic model where it's like, it all plays a role together.
So, right.
Yeah. We just like, we use everything. Cause it's like, you can't forget one thing. Cause if you like, cause it's going to be that weakest link that's going to destroy everything.
Sure. Oh yeah.
Whether it's like bad habits of like, I don't know, going out drinking during these mastermind events and like winding up in a strip club halfway through the night and then making some really shitty decisions,
yeah.
and then your marriage being destroyed, and like that'll topple everything. It's just like, you just need one domino to fall and yeah. it'll destroy everything.
For sure.
And yeah, I just keep people like focused and on like their warriorship, because like, for me, I have very specific rules that I live by, and I have very specific standards that I hold myself to, and yeah. I teach people to develop their own standards and their own rules, because the more rules you have, the more freedom you have in your life, because you don't even have to make those silly decisions like, what am I going to eat? Am I going to eat this shitty food, or am I not going to eat this shitty food? Am I going to talk to this woman that's trying to like, whatever, seduce me, or am I just going to ignore her? Am I going to yell at my kids, or am I going to have like all these rules
right.
that raise your standards for who you are as a human being and as a warrior, give you the freedom to actually create the shit that you need to create. Because if you're sitting there making $5 decisions your whole fucking life, how are you supposed to make the $1 million decisions that you really need to be making, you know?
Sure. No, definitely. That's, I mean, that's, yeah, I mean, so truthful. What, before we wrap up here, I know you have a really cool program that you guys recently launched, or you guys have launched down in Costa Rica, working with kids and doing a whole bunch of really cool stuff.
Yeah, we have a nonprofit called Hero Academy. It's under the Dream Life Alliance banner. So basically, we teach kids Brazilian jiu-jitsu, like really poor kids, poor local kids, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, English, personal development, and we feed them organic food. And we help to build safe housing for their families. We helped to rebuild two houses last year. We just launched last year. We have like close to 50 kids, and about 20 of them are like regular, like every day. Some of them are like starting to speak English right now. Most of the girls in the program have been molested or raped or sexually abused. And then the boys had seen that stuff, so like they're in the same patterns as well. So what we're doing is we're breaking patterns. We're doing pattern interrupts on a large societal basis. And it's a nonprofit. We just got started. We're going to be expanding this year. So if anybody's looking to send some funds over to the nonprofit or come down and teach the kids some cool shit or whatever, I don't know, figure something else out. That's cool. My wife is spearheading that project. I focus more on like the teaching them, and like she runs like the macro. I do the micro, where I'm just like the child whisperer.
No, that's really cool. I know. And do you guys have a way, so say people wanted to come down and donate time or help, you guys have a kind of a whole program structure to be able to do that, or just like, hey, here's the deal, come on down, man.
Honestly, we've just had like people coming down, but like we're just getting started with the whole like nonprofit thing. That thing usually takes a little bit longer, like the 501c3s, like they take like a while to figure out, like there's like a gold star rate. There's like a whole like whatever. There's a lot of red tape, essentially. Yeah. From a corporate side. So like we couldn't really scale up what we were doing because like, there's like certain, it's not like a corporation where you launch and like a month later you're doing 100K a month. Like it's just like, there's like these little weird red tapes that they had to go over. But I mean, it's working out pretty awesome. It's working exactly at the pace that it's supposed to be working at.
Awesome. Yeah, no, guys, I mean, really, if, you know, anything that you want to help Rome with that, I mean, the Hero Academy is awesome. I know we talked a lot about it offline when we were hanging out in California. So it's a really cool thing. It's something I know from my perspective, you know, any ways to try to help kids, teach them, empower them, and to, you know, help them be in a position to be successful in their life and everything is awesome. So that's honorable and really awesome that you're doing that.
Thanks, bro.
Well, cool. Well, tell us where we can find out more about Hero Academy, what you're doing, who you are, and everything before we wrap up.
Cool. I wrote a book last year when I was in the jungle called Awaken the Warrior Within. I'm going to be doing like a relaunch of the book because I kind of wrote it for my kids, but then people started reading it and they're like, this is pretty fucking good. And I decided to share it with like the community. You guys can find me on romzod.com. You can sign up to the list. I'll send you a free meditation and then we'll develop a relationship from there. We have a retreat that we do. This is going to be our fourth one. We're setting up our July event right now. We're half full. We just announced it 2 weeks ago. And it's 5 days in Costa Rica in the mountain jungles of Costa Rica. And we basically touch on everything and we do like we basically set up those rituals. So in the morning we wake up, we do a 7 a.m. Movement practice. Like we trained with the Ido Portal team, Conor McGregor's coach last year. So we do a lot of their movement patterns, plus a lot of like animal movements and jiu-jitsu patterns. We do breath work, meditation after that. Then we have like this awesome organic spread. And then the workshops start. And we do like 2 or 3 hour workshops where we just like create these crazy breakthroughs of tears and people quitting their high-paying executive positions and closing their businesses and talking to their dead grandparents during our psychedelic journeys with the breath work. And then we wrap it up with a bonfire at night and just sharing circle and just like just building that tribe, because essentially we're tribal beings and we need that connection where we're not just talking about sales funnels and conversion rates and all that other stuff that's great and important, but that's not the stuff that those people need to be talking about for the most part, because they need to be talking about that one time that their wife, their ex-wife cheated on them and they still haven't gotten over it, and they hate women and they still haven't been able to build a relationship. So to get rid of that thing, and I can get rid of it in less than 10 minutes. So
that's like, awesome.
Why not? Right? And we just get to chill and hang out and just like, just be, you know, like be.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
And that's coming up in July.
Yeah. July 8th to July 13th.
Awesome.
We have a bunch of like really high level entrepreneurs coming down. So I'm really excited. Our last retreat was like crazy. So many tears, so many hugs. It almost feels as if like this is the right place. If you're looking to feel like you've been at summer camp all summer, and then when you're leaving, it feels like you're never going to see these people again. So you don't want to let them go, and you don't want to. It's like this weird feeling. And in 5 days, you have this connection where you've shared more with these people that you met 5 days ago than anybody else in your life knows about.
Right.
Wow. Like your fears and your true desires that we usually don't share because they're judged both ways and they're totally not appreciated. And over there, we just create this safe space where people can cry, people can laugh, people can joke, people can do whatever it is that they need to do in order to get to the next level. So,
cool. That's awesome, man. So excited for you. That's really great. Is there a spot where people can get your book, or when you relaunch it, it will be?
Yeah, we're going to relaunch it. So they should sign up on romzaw.com I'll send it out during an email.
Awesome. So cool, man. Well, it was an honor to have your time today, be able to share your story, what you have going on, some cool insights. And guys, make sure you guys get out there breathing. And so, Rome, thank you for coming on Making Bank today.
Hold on. Guys, go do something courageous today. One thing, courageous. One thing that you're scared of. Tell her that you love her. Tell her that that thing hurt. Tell him that that thing hurt. Do something courageous. Give your child a hug and apologize for being an asshole the day before. And I love you guys. Have an amazing day. Thank you, Josh, for having me. This is awesome. And
cool, man. I'm Josh Felber. You've been watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.